My name is Howard Sherman. I'm a resident of Manhattan. I am currently an arts management consultant and writer. I have worked at many theaters in Connecticut, including Goodspeed Opera House, Hartford Stage, the O'Neill Theater Center. But most importantly, I am an alumnus of this school. I am here, I've come up from New York, because an effort to silence a high school musical is not unique in this community. I am seeing this happen around the country, and it deeply troubles me.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 347, High School Censorship. You just heard our old friend Howard Sherman speaking at a meeting of the Amity High School Board of Education in Woodbridge, Connecticut. He was there to support a high school production of Sweeney Todd that was under threat of being canceled. I spoke to Howard last week in his slightly new role as theatrical activist, fighting the good fight against high school censorship, although his first words to me are a caution against inappropriate terminology.
I'm a little careful about the word censorship because I think schools certainly have a right to exercise jurisdiction over what goes on in the schools. However, I find it applied sometimes with a vengeance and without necessarily a consistent basis.
So what has cropped up recently? I have a recording from you fighting against the proposed shutdown of a production of Sweeney Todd at a high school, but now recently two other issues have come up, both in the Northeast, if I'm not mistaken.
Two issues, one in Massachusetts, one in Iowa.
Iowa, excuse me. If you're in San Diego, it's part of the Northeast.
Yes. Yeah. In the case of Everett High School in Everett, Massachusetts, the superintendent has shut down the entire academic drama program, which on an annual basis had four or five classes as electives available to the students. It's been done with a few reasons given, one being content, that some student-written plays dealt with issues of sex and alcohol, and that the superintendent didn't feel that was appropriate, but somehow that morphed into the elimination of the classes because there were budget troubles. And I find a very strange transition from one reason to another. So that's Everett. And then in Ottumwa, Iowa, it's a case where the drama program wanted to do The Laramie Project, the play by Moises Kaufman and the Tectonic Theater Project about the murder of Matthew Shepard back in the late 90s. And the school officials made a really interesting statement. They talked about what a valuable play it is and the important lessons it can teach, but they didn't feel it belonged at the school because they felt what they presented should be something for the whole family.
So somehow only the drama department is forced to adhere to a G rating.
The question becomes, is the high school theater program for the students and is it a learning experience for them, or is it somehow a PR extension of the high school, which has to be sanitized for all comers? And I strongly believe the answer should be the first, that anything that happens at a school should be with the best interests of the students. If it can reach out further into the community, that is obviously fantastic. But I don't think that should be the basis of choices about academic or extracurricular programs at any school.
Right. It speaks to the power of theater that if you go to see something and you watch something on stage, that's a powerful That's a powerful thing for an audience member. And if you're worried about little kids, okay, yes, I get that. But it then seems to lead to the conclusion that somehow seeing something in a theater or enacting something is more, quote unquote, dangerous than reading this. I mean, presumably these same principals and boards of education are not going in and reading every book that these kids read in their high school English classes, or presumably they're not sanitizing the history books either when they find out what happened in the history of America and the history of the world. I mean, unless you're Texas.
But I don't want to make that generalization about what is or isn't being done. School boards absolutely exercise control over what is in a school's curriculum in consultation with the educators. And there are countless stories going back decades about the fact that sometimes some of the oddest books are considered inappropriate, either for classroom work or even to be in school libraries, which is quite remarkable. And we hear about textbooks being sanitized or attempted sanitization of them all the time. So that it would occur within drama programs doesn't seem out of character. I think, as you say, what it points up is the power of theater. But unfortunately, it also points up the idea that theater can be simply changed, and it's just whatever gets done is fine, which suggests an irrelevancy, or eliminated as an academic program, which devalues the whole idea of it. If indeed it's the theater's power that frightens people, how unfortunate that then it can be so easily dismissed.
There's also seems to be something important about the fact that kids want to do this material. And I think that seems to be a frightening thing to grown-ups. That the kids are somehow taking ownership of the material they want to explore and want to use to express themselves. And there is that kind of, that's where I think that somehow the censorship word label is not misapplied. Because I do think there is an element to this entire argument of you know, teenage voices being silenced.
At what point it crosses the line between supervision and censorship is a fine one.
Yes.
Because it would be inappropriate of me to accuse any school administrator who feels there are certain boundaries that are appropriate or inappropriate, you know, and just say that they're exercising that, you know, by whim. I think in the case of what the students want to do, it's not just the students, it's often the teachers as well, where the opposition can come from is varied. In the case of Everett, it seems to be emanating from the superintendent, according to the one major article published about this situation by the Boston Globe. In Iowa, I believe it's the principal who's done it. In the case of the situation in Connecticut with Sweeney Todd, there was complete support from the superintendent to the principal, unstinting support, and it arose from members in the community. The very first time I got myself involved in one of these was another incident in Connecticut at an arts magnet school in the city of Waterbury over an August Wilson play, in which the superintendent, after the show was already in rehearsal, became aware that in Joe Turner's Come and Gone, the play uses the N-word 11 times, and he is of the belief that that is a word that simply should not be used anymore. As one of the people who made the argument for the play going forward, my position was that this is an inner-city school with a large African-American population. August Wilson is unquestionably the greatest African-American playwright the country has produced, and certainly one of the greatest playwrights of any heritage that America has produced. if he used that word, he knew what he was doing with it, and he didn't use it for shock value. He didn't use it to perpetuate its ugliness. He used it because it was what the play called for. And so to deny those students the opportunity to explore that work because of August Wilson's utterly defensible artistic choices seemed wrongheaded.
Right, and just sort of blanket. I mean, I just don't know how you police language or ideas like that. This is where it bothers me. It says it's all got to be on a context basis. I mean, I know you have your own very, very horrifying past as an onstage performer doing incredibly risque material in a very bawdy work. Can you tell us about that experience?
Well, I assume you're referring to the fact that one of the things that the Everett High School principal referred to as being inappropriate in what he saw the drama group doing was a student-written play in which one of the students dropped his pants, revealing shorts. I, in fact, in 1977 at Amity High School in Woodbridge, Connecticut, did the exact same thing. Now, mind you, I am not somebody who would comfortably have dropped my pants, revealing my shorts in front of very many people, let alone an auditorium of 600. The risque work in question was Neil Simon's The Odd Couple. So as you say, context is all.
Well, and you know, you say you wouldn't do that normally, but like Roger Rabbit, you'll do it if it's funny.
Hello there. This is Rob Richards, theater instructor at Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? Our London run at the Leicester Square Theatre has already been extended to August 17th, so catch us there if you can before we head back out on our fall UK tour. And in addition to the UK, this fall we'll bring Shakespeare, books, Christmas, and the new show, The Complete History of Comedy, abridged, to the US, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park, which technically I guess is in the US. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
What's interesting is that with shows that have material that would otherwise limit it in terms of high school production, the authors and the licensors do permit, on request, you can't just do it, but on request, will allow alterations. Moises Kaufman, who I spoke with about the situation in Iowa, said very frequently the Laramie Project has issues because although it is verbatim transcriptions of conversations with actual residents of Laramie, there is profanity. For high school productions, they permit the profanity to be excised because fundamentally the message of the piece in that case is more important than the precise words. It's not something they do under other circumstances.
Right.
Avenue Q has an approved school edition in which the internet is for porn is not part of the show. Mm-hmm. I think that creators of artistic works recognize the responsibilities and limitations that exist in an academic setting, certainly in a high school or junior high school setting, and they want the students to be able to grapple with the big picture of the work, and in some cases will make a change. In the case of August Wilson and Joe Turner's Come and Gone, it's not a word those kids don't hear, and again, it was not used shockingly or inappropriately. It was so germane to the story, and I don't believe the estate was prepared to allow August's words to be altered. And if 11 words in a 2.5-hour play prevent it from being done, then again, you have to talk about really where are the priorities. What I do want to say about the Waterbury situation, which ultimately worked out, the show went forward, was the idea that difficult material, language, sex, alcohol use, drug use, simply adult themes, murder, and so on, they can create, to use the somewhat corny phrase, opportunities for learning. Ultimately, what made the superintendent comfortable in Waterbury was that people from the Yale School of Drama went up to the school and did educational and preparatory sessions about the history of the work, about August, so that it was fully placed in context and wasn't simply dropped there as seemingly a piece of entertainment.
So the guys from Yale Rep came in and did this preparatory work for the audience or for the actors?
Both.
Okay.
No, not for the, well, for the audience of both students and the public.
Yeah.
I think actors understood it. I don't think that was the issue in that case. What's also true is when students can make the case for themselves, when given the opportunity, they will always be the best spokesman. I've taken this on a few times because to whatever degree my voice can amplify the situation and in some cases the people who are concerned about what has transpired, I want to be able to do that. Ultimately, it has to come from within the community, but I believe I can sometimes help those people craft their argument and get their argument seen on a broader basis. People in these communities think it's just in their town. And what I find can be valuable is that people come to understand this is not unique. It is not geographically limited. It can happen anywhere at any time for a wide variety of reasons. I'm hoping that if unfortunately these situations continue to come up, that I can be a point of reference where they can hear more about how it's been handled in other communities, and where they can even interact with other schools, other teachers, other students who've gone through this, so that ultimately there's the best possible outcome. But every school, every drama program needs to know they're not alone and that this is part of a bigger picture. Students can handle more and are aware of more than I think many adults want to accept. And in the case of this student-written work at Everett High School, if the students are writing about their lives, their lives do involve profanity and alcohol and explorations or of sex. Mm-hmm. And to deny them in an educational setting the opportunity to explore their own lives truthfully seems to me contradictory to the whole point of a well-rounded education.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Listen, if you're at all interested in theater and you're on Twitter, you absolutely must follow Howard there at H.E. Sherman. He's a great source of theater news from all around the world. You can also find Howard's other theatrical musings and rabble-rousings at his blog, hesherman.com. Send us your band production via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, Superintendent Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Megan Williams. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to old friend and high school drama teacher Rob Richards from the Phillips Exeter Academy in New Hampshire. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 347/1041st of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less.